So in the light of that, I'd like to ask us to just experiment with something this morning. What's today's date? 22nd? 22nd of December. As I began to be a little excited about Christmas, I paused a little to ask myself, what is happening in heaven on the 22nd of December 2019, on the 23rd of December 2019, on the 24th of December 2019, and on Christmas Day? It's not hypothetical. I just like us to question. What do you think in heaven may be happening on these days? We know what is happening on earth, at least on half of the earth. I was amazed once because my wife works for a company that does a lot of work in Dubai and some other Muslim areas. And when she gets a call on Sunday, it's strange to me. Or when she says there's nothing happening on a Friday, it's strange because it's a work day. Even more than that, when I forget some of the public holidays in Nigeria, Children's Day, one of the Eiders, or even I've forgotten October 1st, and I call. I say, it's a public holiday. It feels strange because the reality in Nigeria, the reality in Dubai on those days is not the reality in America. Right? In America, we're in our cars and we're going to work. But they are really chilled. Or when they call me on July 4th, right? Say, you people are on holiday. It doesn't feel real to them that why they are going to work, why monkey they work, you know, to say. So at times I ask myself, because we are limited by time, we're limited by space, I ask myself as I get involved in the reality that God has given to me within the space and time that I live in, I ask, what is happening in heaven? Let thy will be done in heaven, even as it is done on earth. I would like us to think, and if anybody will volunteer a guess as to what Christmas Day will be like in heaven, because understanding it, we guide our hearts as to how Jesus wants us to celebrate Christmas, right? But as we do that, I would like us to turn our Bibles to John chapter 2, and I'm going to read a verse, maybe a couple. John 2, I'll read more than a verse. I'll read from verse 13 to 17. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and money changers doing business as usual. When he had made a whip of cords. Tosin, do you understand that? He made a whip of cords. Egba. Where's Sister Fadike? I think that was the first, you find some of our children, the first word of Yoruba they learned in children's yards. Can you call Egba? Well, what was it? I'm sure, were you ever in our class? Dr. Dugu, Kiniko Egba. There's a phrase that they all came home saying, to the annoyance of us parents, by the way. Dr. Dugood, Toba Shikiniko Egba. Were you ever in Auntie Fadike's class? Of course you were in Auntie Fadike's class. You just don't remember, right? The Lord made Egba. You don't think about Jesus and think about Egba, right? He drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the changers of money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Before we continue to read, did anybody think, is there an answer? What do you think might be happening on Christmas Day in heaven? If you don't raise your hand, I will call. Auntie Landy, just guess. What? Because that happens every day. The rejoicing, that is true. That is true. Yeah. Will it be rejoicing because it's Christmas or rejoicing because that's just the nature of heaven? Okay, let me ask more bluntly. Is Christmas acknowledged in heaven? Will I be right or wrong to say what happens on December 25 in heaven will be exactly what happened today and day after? And let me ask, would the Lord look down on earth and be particularly more happy that we are celebrating the birthday of Jesus our Lord? More happy. He's always happy with us. But with the fact that we separated a day specifically to have a birthday unto our Lord, and Hallmark made billions of dollars, millions across the world, maybe billions. Will it make the Lord particularly happy? How about the fact that the president just declared Christmas Eve a federal public holiday? Yeah, he did. All federal workers are off on the 26th, to the chagrin, by the way, of consulting firms. Right? Because that means they won't make money that day. Let's go back to chapter 2. Take these things away. Do not make my house, my father's house, a house of merchandise. And the title of this sermon is taken from verse 13. It's Brother Peter. You tell Brother Peter when he comes. Thank you, Soji. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has consumed me." That's the title for this sermon today. The zeal for your house has what? Consumed me. I want us to contextualize this passage a little bit because there's some history to it. So if you read the book of Leviticus, if you read chapter 12, it dealt with a particular kind of offering for women who just had a child. I remember the land of Israel, and I was trying to calculate it. The land of Israel is like the landmass of DC plus Delaware, maybe up until Richmond. That's it. It's about a 2-hour, I remember when I calculated it, it's about a 2-hour lateral drive. That's it. That's it. It's way less than Texas, way less than Florida. But on this piece of land, the 12 tribes of Israel were dispersed. And the 12 tribes of Israel were all subject to the laws of Moses, together with the sacrifices. It was incumbent on them on Passover to bring their families, the way when we were growing up, we went home. I don't know, it's no longer a, but in those days, it used to be the, was it, is it tradition or cultural, the practice that in December. Actually, I understand, I was speaking to someone who lived in Lagos, who told me that Lagos literally empties out at Christmas because the Igbos go home. It's still a tradition. So it was, Passover was the biggest feast in Israel. It was like Christmas. Passover was actually the Jewish Christmas. The time when they came together to celebrate the single most symbolic object of their religion. The time when the Lord rescued them from the land of Egypt. So they brought their children. And apart from Passover, there were specific sacrifices that you went to the temple. By the way, that was how come a lot, because they were so dispersed, the Lord allowed a concession that they will build up certain places, altars in different parts of Israel, where instead of taking the 1.5-hour trip, in those days it would be trekking, by the way, that rather than going all the way to Jerusalem, those of the tribe of Israel, rather than Judah, they would go around Samaria. I forget the precise place. What was the capital of Israel? Anyway, Hebron. Hebron was Judah. Jerusalem, Judah, Hebron or thereabout. Anyway, so they could take their sacrifices there. But imagine the logistical nightmare of dragging goats and pigs all the way to Jerusalem on donkeys. So it was very practical that around the temple we evolve a natural commerce. Rather than bring your goats, you could come from all across and buy the goats close to the temple. So there was a legitimate reason why there should be goats and sheep by the temple in Jerusalem. And then along the trip, if you remember the story of the Samaritan, there are bandits and thieves. So, like some of you going to Nigeria, I know people going to Nigeria say, please don't give $20 notes. Let it be $100. So you have less cash to carry. For those of you who fraudulently want to carry more than 10,000, right? You have easy places to hide it in your socks. I remember there was a time I was carrying 9,900. Yes, I was. It's legal. And I put it in my socks. I actually forgot that those scanners would that they would pick it up. Because when I got it, I remember, why am I such foolishness? The first thing they will catch is, you know, I didn't want to lose it. And if it left my body, I wanted to be sure I felt it. So, you know, other people's money. So there was a logical reason why there should be money changers. If you wanted to make an offering of 12 farthings, right? You have to break it somehow. At Passover, the Christmas of the Jews, the Lord went into the temple. And over the years, he saw how things had degenerated into commerce. And he made eba. You know, when you read the story, you wonder, oh, these people have gone so far off. Why would they be selling? And there was a logical reason. There's a reason why every church has a bookshop, why every church has tape converters and they will sell tape after the service, why the latest Christian books will be advertised. There's a reason why there's Jingle Bell Jingle All the Way in Walmart. It's not because they love Jesus. There was a time that Christmas was our holiday. Now Christmas is everybody's holiday. Commerce. Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal for your house has eaten me up. I'm just challenging us this Christmas. To remember the word of the Lord as thy will is done in heaven, let it be done on earth. What does that prayer mean? It means, Lord, we want our hearts to be exactly where your heart is. We want to think the way you think, act the way you act. This Christmas, we don't want to be carried away with the festivity. I don't know whether it happens to you, but are you the kind of person that people give you not what you want for your birthday, but what they want to give you? Some people will even want to give your children chocolate. Then the Holy Spirit will minister to them. At times we want to give Jesus what we want. We receive all the gifts. What gift does Jesus want on Christmas Day? Isn't that the only thing that matters to make the celebrant happy? Have we thought about it this morning? As thy will is done in heaven, as we studied about Christmas, have we thought, if we really think about it, it may be surprising what we'll find. Maybe we'll celebrate Christmas a little bit differently. I'd like to talk about Jesus and then we'll close. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him there was nothing made that was made. And that Word became flesh. And that Word dwelt amidst us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. In him is life. And that life was the light of men. This Jesus, whom the world and we celebrate, is not just a name. Today the world carries on. I mean, I can see a lot of Christmas light. Christmas is symbol. I remember there used to be somewhere in Colombia on the way to the mall that they had a light city and you can drive. Christmas always connotes light. But it's true light. John called him the true light. I think it's further down. Eight, he was that light that was sent to bear witness. That's John. That he was bearing witness to the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. I ask you, has Jesus given to you life today and light? Is your life filled with the light of Christmas? I implore us this Christmas to try and seek the Lord closer. The testimony of John, the writer of the gospel about Jesus, is that he is a light, verse 5, that shines in darkness, but darkness does not understand it. In front of many homes on Goodluck Road, somewhere I drive down Goodluck, there's a fantastic house there with light. My next door neighbor, will be driving off to church every Sunday. My wife and I wonder whether they're Christians. We've been praying about how we can strategizing and asking, can we? But his house is the most decorated house on the street. If I had to tell him to please move the decoration closer to my home, so I'll be able to boast to my friends next Christmas. They have light, but the true light that lights the whole world, the light that Jesus is talking about, is the light that makes us bubble in the joy of the Holy Ghost. Jesus, the man, is truly, I don't know as you sit today, whether you don't access Jesus as a light. But look at how deliberate this testimony of Jesus is, of John about Christ. Verse 8, John was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness to the light. That was the true light which shines to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, but everybody, most people singing about Christmas, do not know him. In heaven, I can imagine the angels who are aware of everything happening on earth are shaking their heads. But because they see the opportunity of a great light that enters the soul, the bread of life, the light of the world, and they see us stringing our homes with different fake lights, though we do not have the true light. Can you give a gift of a testimony of Jesus Christ to someone this morning? As our children open the presents, as the world opens different presents, the angels are wondering about the gifts of God to the whole world, the man Jesus, the present that is yet left unopened by majority of people on earth. So every Christmas is a sad celebration in heaven. I want you to get the tone of John in this chapter 1. Tell me if, to me, I may be wrong, but this man seems to have a little regret. There seems to be a little tone of regret in his voice. In verse 5, "And light, the light shines in darkness, and darkness did not understand it." When I drive, when I commune at work, when I look at my neighborhood, and I remember that barely 5%, I don't know, of people around me know the gift of God that takes away the sin of the whole world, I say, Lord, the harvest is plenty. America celebrates Christmas. But does America know Jesus? Let me even take it home. The church celebrates Jesus. But do we really spare Jesus much thought? You know, it reminds me of those one-year-old birthdays, right? There's a saying in Nigeria that the one-year-old birthday is really for the parents. We dress the baby up, we do all of that. The baby doesn't care about it. The baby just wants to be with the mom. But we have guests over at the house, and we dance, and we're happy, and we've celebrated, and we preserve the pictures. How many of you have ever looked at your one-year-old birthday picture and say, oh? You say, oh. Yeah, you know, it's a strange one, aren't you? No, I mean, there's a homework coming up. There's life happening to you. There are things to be like, oh, cute, really nice, yeah. Actually, some of us say, don't embarrass. When your parents show your one-year-old birthday to your visiting friends, say the truth. You go, no, 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 don't embarrass me. You don't? You don't. I saw you smiling. That is the way Christ will feel. As we close, the zeal of the house has consumed me. The Bible says, you know, we like to learn from what the Bible, what is written in the Bible, and that is very good. But the Lord commands us to learn not just for what is written, but Christ said the things that I began to do as well. Not just to say, says, be ye imitators of God, of Christ. One thing I've seen about Jesus is how so focused he always was on the mission that the Father had sent him. No matter what, even godly distractions. Oh, let us make 3 tabernacles. One for you, one for Abraham, one for, who was the third person? Elijah. The Lord would say, let us go down. Oh, let us make him a king. I say, no, my time is not yet. After feeding so many people and performing miracles, he will go into the mountain alone to pray. He always seemed to do the opposite of what people expect him to do. Lord, now we know that you are king. In your name, we raise the dead. You know how fixated we are on miracles and stuff. The Lord Jesus will say, do not rejoice because it's my birthday. Rejoice because your names are written in the book of life. Don't get excited over anything. We are the face and the representatives of Jesus Christ. The zeal of your house. Christians, seek ye not repose. Hear your guardian angel say, we are in the midst of fools. Watch and pray. Don't be distracted by twinkle jingle bells. Don't be distracted by the story of the 3 wise men. They did their bit and went away. Christ has been born in the manger. The main question is, are we born again? There's nothing that Christ celebrates in heaven. The only thing we hear that he celebrates, that the angels celebrate, is what? One soul. Make a Christmas for Jesus every day. For every soul that comes to Jesus, the heavens rejoice. As we close, it's not popular. Say, are you anti-Christmas, Brother Wale? No, I'm not. But let our faces be as flint. Let us celebrate Christmas as those who do not. Let us keep Zion before us. Let's encourage one another about the main things. Let's hear the voice of the baby in the manger this morning. Joy to the world. A king is born. Let earth receive its voice. We have a lot of work to do. Let the zeal of the house of the Lord. Let us be the ones that look at the cards at Christmas as we are signing them. Are we also praying for the hands about to receive them that do not know Jesus Christ? When we are ordering presents for our families, do our hearts ache because some of them, although they are receiving gifts about Jesus, do not have the gifts of Jesus Christ? Let's not be carried away. I have to do a better job of this, to send every card out with prayer, to buy every gift with a scripture. May the Lord help us to be better witnesses. I was reflecting on this yesterday, and as always, I was pretty pleased with myself because Christmas shopping, anyway, Bella did most of it. But we're done with it. We'll pay the bills later. Right? But the Lord dropped in my heart that, really, Really? Isaiah chapter 9. Let's see perhaps some of what might be in the heart of Jesus. So as we pray this morning, as we send the gift of prayer the way of our loved ones, let's see what is likely in the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ. 61 verse 1 and 2. And strategically, in subsequent years, let's see how we can work this into our Christmas, so that Christmas will be a little different for us than it is for the world, a little bit more significant. Here's what why the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth. The one thing he never said is that we should celebrate him in the way we do. But he has a way that he wants us to celebrate him. He said, whatever we do for the least of these ones, we have done for him. That's the selfish nature of our Messiah. I think we should keep reminding ourselves about the poor every Christmas, corporately and individually. Can we give a gift to one of the least likely of that you would give a gift to? In this church, let's remember those who we simply receive our gifts with grace and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Reserve the most expensive gift for these folks. Let's challenge ourselves. Let's challenge ourselves for the sake of righteousness to approach everything a little differently. Let's approach everything with a zeal for our Jesus Christ. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. Will you be an instrument of good tidings to the poor this Christmas? Thank God for Operation Christmas. Yes. Let's challenge ourselves to do better next year. How about the poor in our households? It's a shame how we buy the most expensive gift for the richest kids. Because, well, that's what they will appreciate, right? So it's relative. But Christ never thought that way. He reserved his best for the worst of sinners, the least deserving. To preach good tidings. As a practice, I pray someone will remind all of us this. Maybe next year, if I'm taking the December beat, I'll set my calendar to remind me, whoever is, that please put a scripture in every gift. Baby, we have all our gifts wrapped up already, so I ought to have preached this message at home first. I wish it occurred to me before yesterday. That we send out, that they will now know that in New Covenant Church, what church do you go to? Or if someone will visit someone's house and they remove and they just see, let's even choose a pen so that we'll be uniform. They say that gift must be from someone in New Covenant Church, Maryland. It has a scripture, right? That's what they do. If we have been praying for our relatives, the Lord will drop a word. They will likely throw it away, but who knows? One day, it's like the tracts we give out. To heal the brokenhearted, will you spare a prayer for someone whose heart is broken? For a man or a woman who is not with their spouse this Christmas? For an abused spouse? For an orphan? This is Christmas. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Thank God for Grandma Ned and that program where the children of people and Sister Tola are given presents. Let's take it more seriously. Because with such offerings, the Lord is well pleased. Especially when we do it sacrificially. And also the one that Sister Lande does. Sister Lande, I wish you would be more vocal and just round people up to follow you, including myself. It's a ministry. Get your band around you, because you are the one with the call. if you need help, more people. I see how Brother Kunle, that one that is trouble. He doesn't let you rest too about his ministry. He will disturb, he will wring out every penny. He will prick at your conscience. Right? I mean, that's his call. Or that man there with Liberty. They won't let you rest. You just relentless, looking for money. Yeah, don't forget Liberty. If they want to, they will even guilt you, make you guilty into doing it. Well, as long as it's done, right? Well, and see chest. To proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to those who are bound. Next verse. And we've been talking about prison ministry. We're all getting older. Will someone own this? Eh? Will someone own these ministries? Because God is well pleased with these things. They look like little things, but they are the very reason that we find it difficult to organize actively around them means they are spiritual. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day, the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. To comfort those who mourn in Zion. To give beautiful ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Christmas is from Christ's perspective, is a totally selfless festivity. Let's make it that way. In our decisions in this church, may the zeal of the Lord consume us. That is all that matters, that his will be done on earth. Not anyhow, but in exactly the same way that it is done in heaven. Lord, please move our hearts. Ultimately, you are not impressed by many things that impress us. Move our hearts, my Lord. You are able to move us to give pleasure to you. Help us to delight in giving, to delight in those who are unloved, unlovable. To bring your light, the true light, to darkness. We need wisdom and we need your zeal. Let your zeal consume us that will make sense out of Christmas. That for us it will not just be a passing event. That these Christmas things will not become a stumbling block to us or stand as witness against us on the day of judgment. But remember Jesus for who he really is. Let your zeal drive us in our decisions. Help us not to eat and be full and forget the hungry. Please, my Lord, bless us. Bless us with understanding and insight. Bless us with the true light, the true insight that sets us apart from the masses. Please, my Lord, blessed be your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
We have a hymn that will be singing.
Shall we rise? Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercy.